Jane Austen, quote of the day. Sometimes the last person on earth you want to be with is the one person you can't be without. Pride and Prejudice. So I have a quote of the day journal with Jane Austen quotes now that I thought that I would try adding into these episodes and see if this works. The quote today from Pride and Prejudice about the last person on earth you want to be with is the one person you can't be without. I honestly have zero memory of reading in the book. Like, this doesn't... I read it the first time and I was like, is that really in the book? I googled it briefly and the internet seems to agree that it is a Jane Austen quote. So I'm assuming it's correct and it is in my journal, my Jane a Day journal, so I think it's true that it is a Pride and Prejudice quote, but I think it's really interesting because it doesn't strike me as a Jane Austen line so much. It just feels very, I don't know, modern maybe? But a lot of Jane Austen's language does feel very modern, so that could be not against it. But that is just where my mind went, as I read that quote and was like, that's not in Pride and Prejudice. I don't even know. I don't know where in the book that is, and I've read Pride and Prejudice a million times, and usually I see the quotes and they come to mind, I know where they're from. This one, I've got no clue, so if anybody wants to reach out to me and tell me that I'm dumb and exactly where it is in Pride and Prejudice, let me know. But I am not sure exactly where this line comes from or where when it comes up. But I'm still eventually going to go back to my read-through, so maybe it'll come up in the end of the book that I haven't gotten to yet. I mean, obviously I've read it before, though, so... I don't know, but getting back to the quote itself, sometimes the last person on earth you want to be with is the one person you can't be without, is an interesting line to me. It's kind of, it to me, what comes to mind is the idea that of another quote I've heard that I'm not sure where it came from, of the opposite of love isn't hate, it's indifference, of, and it's a kind of common thought, I think, that comes up of feeling passionately about someone, whether it's good or bad, is still passionate. So that makes me think of Elizabeth. She has strong feelings about Darcy, even at the beginning. They are negative, but they are strong. And I think that she seems to enjoy her battle of wits with him, even though she would never have admitted to it. And that's what that line makes me think of, this idea of not liking somebody, but still feeling the pull to be near them. And how having them there is still helpful. Or not helpful, but at least entertaining and something you want. That it's one of those things that without Darcy there for Elizabeth to squabble with, she would have had a much more boring time, for example, staying over at Netherfield. And that is what I get from that quote. Breaking news. Especially since I'm going through the series of Rational Creatures, I wanted to take a break today to talk a little bit about a video that they just put out from Rational Creatures. As I am talking about it now, it says on YouTube 12 hours ago, for the Virtual Jane Con 2023, which I highly recommend to everyone. Go on YouTube. You can search up the Virtual Jane Con. And there's a bunch of videos for the last couple of years. If you haven't heard of this before, there are playlists from, I think, at least from 2019. I'm not sure if it goes back farther than that. But the last few years, they've done it. And 2023 is happening this weekend of July 15th and 16th when I'm talking about it. But a bunch of videos are out already. And one of the ones that is part of that sort of playlist and that has been produced for this Jane Con audience is one from the producers of Rational Creatures, which is exciting, and they kind of talk about their process of how they have created the series and where the idea for the series came from and their thought process on what sort of the changes they made and why they did it, why they thought it was interesting. I am not going to go into all the details of it at this exact moment, but I'd highly recommend you go watch their video and, of course, the whole series. But some standouts in my mind that I am remembering now after having just watched the video are them talking about the different sort of orientations they were talking about in the series, and how I think they said that Fred was the first character that they queered, that they made him bi, and how they have Ben be bi, and Anna is bi, and how that was something that they wanted to do, and then talking about how they felt like one of the big changes they made, which I agree with them, and I've talked about multiple times, is the change in Marisol. So I thought it was interesting they agreed and acknowledged that that was one of the main, a big change that they made in the story itself, or of a character, to give her a chronic illness instead of hypochondria from the book. But I thought it was interesting they talked about here that they wanted specifically to give her like an invisible chronic illness, because they feel like some of those invisible disabilities people might not take seriously or really believe or accept, maybe, and so that it still kind of gave that nod to the idea that people might not be accepting and believing of the idea of this disability, even though she has it. So I thought that was interesting. They mentioned specifically about having ace representation as something that they wanted to do with Sophie, because they don't feel like that's something that happens a lot, which I 100% agree with them that that is almost never in existence. It's very, very rare for something, for an ace character to exist, to the point that I was in my 30s before I even knew it was a thing. As an ace person, I feel like that's probably not good. So I'm all about having more representation of that, so love it. And they also specifically talked about how the flashbacks were something that was sort of innovative for their version of Persuasion, because in the novel itself, there's really no, almost no discussion of the courtship between Anne and Wentworth before the book starts, you know, 8 years ago. And in most variations or like adaptations that I've seen, there really isn't any flashbacks of them in the past, of what's happening, of how their relationship looked back then and how they broke up and all of that. So they specifically wanted to kind of show these parallel timelines where you're seeing the flashbacks of Anna and Wentworth, or Anna and Fred, in high school and their miscommunication and how that breakup happens, while at the same time seeing them present day and how they end up back together, which I thought was innovative and interesting, and I liked how they talked about that. I think that's about all I have that I want to say on that video, but it was well done. I enjoyed watching it. Again, if you're watching the series, if you are into Rational Creatures, I would recommend you also then now watch their new Jane Con video of kind of behind the scenes, how they created the videos, what they were thinking, how they put it all together. And I also would recommend you get into the rest of Jane Con. There's some interesting videos. I saw one, the only other one I've watched so far, because I pulled out the Rational Creature ones to watch, Creature One to watch early, because I was interested in that specific topic. The other one I watched was about the Persuasion on Netflix, the new version, which I really, really disliked. And the person who made the video also disliked it and was kind of going into why they felt it was problematic. They made all those changes, or like some of the changes that they felt were problematic. And they specifically talked about the change that they felt was particularly problematic was the actual change of Anne herself. The character of Anne went on a whole thing where she was going through, Jane Austen has flawed main characters and virtuous main characters, and you know how things like Lizzie and Emma and Marianne are all flawed, and I think she also said from Northanger Abbey, Catherine is on the flawed category, and then how it's Eleanor, Anne, and what's her face from Mansfield Park, Fanny, are like the virtuous ones. I don't know that I completely agree with her characterization that that Eleanor and Fanny and Anne are all like perfect virtuous people, but I do think that they are I think that characterization of those are the two, like, those being kind of two different categories of characters is true. I just don't know that I would necessarily label them as like the flawed versus the virtuous. But I do think that it's is the kind of the more lively versus the they're kind of the extroverts versus the introverts in some ways. Now Fanny is very specifically virtuous. Anne is too. She's trying to be. I mean, maybe it is correct, but I think they are all three of those characters put morality and virtue of and like virtues very highly and think very strongly before they act. But we also sort of see the constraints it puts on them as human beings to try and be quite so as virtuous as they are. I don't know. But I thought it was an interesting look into the characterizations of Jane Austen's heroines and why this particular creator felt that the new Persuasion on Netflix really mischaracterized Anne and how that kind of made the whole story fall apart around her, because the whole story kind of didn't make sense with her as the fulcrum with that change in character. Which I agree with, and I think is sim I haven't listened to my own episode where I went on where I ranted about that Persuasion, but I think I agree with her analysis on that. So again, that was in the Virtual Jane Con 2023 playlist about the new Persuasion and what went wrong. So I would recommend that video and probably all the rest of ones on that list. If you're interested in Jane Austen, definitely give it a watch. I think that's all for my updates, and now we'll get in to the actual topic of the episode, which is Rational Creatures, episode 12. Rational Creatures, episode 12. Alright, so here we are at episode 12. We start off with as Lewis calls them later in this episode, Charisol, which I love. Charisol. For Marisol and Charlie, they are in bed together, and Marisol is sort of complaining about what happened last episode with Anna about how she is going back to work for her dad, and she wishes Anna would stand up for herself more. And Charlie sort of points out, like, how is her listening to you any better than her listening and doing whatever her dad wants her to do? And Marisol has to kind of agree, and you know, like, it's her life. If this makes her happy, more power to her. And it's just a really sweet scene between the two of them having this really nice relationship, and Marisol trying to be a good sister, and wanting Anna to be happy, even if she's sometimes a little misguided in her advice. Although I also think she's correct that it doesn't seem like Anna is happy working for her dad at the travel agency and everything, and we see more of that in upcoming scenes here. But Marisol sort of agrees that she's going to let Anna live her own life and figure it out, and it's very sweet. So, second scene, we move on to Anna going back to work for Poppy and texting with her dad about the new guy who's coming in, Elliot Williams, who is taking the place of the heir in the novel, Mr. Elliot, who is their cousin. They share a great grandfather. But anyway, in this version, he is a new employee that Poppy hired while she was gone, who wants to come in and revamp everything and is, yeah, just kind of awkward. So we get a really, really quick scene of him just introducing himself to Anna here after she reads the text from her dad. Then we get Fred, who is dealing with his breakup in a very rom-commy traditional way. He is eating ice cream directly out of the carton, a big thing of chocolate ice cream, while he watches some sort of sad romantic movie on his laptop. I don't know which one. But he has a line that it says it gave him unrealistic expectations of hot guys in boats with boats in Santorini. I have no idea what movie that would be, but there he is. He's watching it. And he's talking to his sister Sophie, so we see that he's, in his breakup phase. And then we get the sweetest little scene of Ben and Lewis on their couch, and Ben is clearly helping Lewis study with like cue cards, and they are like having a great time and throwing candy in each other's mouths as like, I think, treats for getting answers correct. It's super cute. Love it so much. I love them together. It's fabulous. Then we swap to a scene. So all of this is happening sort of now, except for that first scene with Charlie and Marisol talking to each other. The rest of these scenes are all just sort of happening with no, with the music going, and it's sort of a montage, I think, of scenes. So then we cut back to Elliot telling Anna all this stuff about how they need to change the office space, that it's too old-fashioned, and all these changes he wants to make, and she's just kind of like smiling at me like he's crazy and nodding her head because she's not happy about. She's like blinking and making faces and like, oh God, this guy is too much. And he kind of is. So we can see that Anna's not happy about him being there. Cut back to Fred. He is now making an appointment with a counselor. And it's just appointment confirmed. Then we cut back to Charlie and Marisol going into their new house that they have been talking about buying a house for a while now. So they got a house and they come in and they kiss and they're celebrating that they were able to get a house and it's very exciting. Then we cut to Sophie and she finds a note from Fred saying thanks for putting up with all my bull. And it's a little sticky note on a box of donuts for her. So he's apologizing for being, so dramatic, I suppose, with her. And then we cut to Fred sitting at the coffee shop, and he pulls out a picture of him and Anna from high school. It's very clearly from like the set went on the old vlogs that we've been watching of them from high school. It's a picture of them from that time period. Then we cut back to Anna. She's back in the office with Elliot. And having not a great time with him right there next to her, being annoying. And then we cut to the Musgrove siblings. Basically, it's Charlie and Lewis and their other sister, who I have forgotten her name in this version. Well, probably Henrietta, I think that's her name in the book. So I'm assuming that's her name here, but I don't really remember because she don't see her all that much. She doesn't play a huge part in the plot here. But they're there, and so is Ben. And Marisol is talked about as having been there. She like called from off screen, but she's not in the shot. But they're all sitting there with a big bowl of popcorn, watching quote unquote not Twilight, and having a nice like sibling family time. And Ben's head is on Lewis's shoulder, and it's super sweet, and I love it. Then we cut to a scene now where we're actually going to get some talking again, where it's in Ben and Lewis's apartment. Because remember, they are roommates. And Lewis talks to Ben and gets him to, or lets him know that, I know you've been wanting a gig, but you're too, shy or embarrassed or something to want to do that in front of everybody. So I thought that you could just do it for us. And so I made sure that everybody is free and you're going to come over to, this is where he says, Charisol's house. And new house to do his gig on the 15th, and it's, I think, so it comes off as sort of forced and awkward. The acting in this particular scene, I don't love. I feel like specifically Ben here is a little like stiff. I'm not sure. I'm not an acting coach. I'm not sure what I'm seeing, but that particular scene just feels a little off to me. But I still love them together, and yeah, it just feels forced the way they're trying to make these cute lines come off about how Ben's like, no, I'm busy. I've got a gig that day. And like, yay, we're having the gig. So, all together, this episode was a lot like a montage of very quick little scenes, getting, I think, a lot of sort of little plot points put together. A, we see Lewis and Ben being super cute and adorable together, and I want them to kiss. We see Charisol with their new combined name, which I enjoy, getting a house and realizing that Marisol needs to let Anna live her own life and being very grown up and adult, and it's beautiful. And we see Fred and Sophie, with Fred, you know, kind of moping around because of his breakup, and then probably because of those seeing Anna so much and just like being all together sort of in a depressive state. And so he decides to, you know, just talk to a therapist and get donuts for Sophie as a thank you, and, you know, as a bit of a gift. And it was a really nice little episode. And then the one storyline I did not talk about in that little cover is, of course, Anna, our main character. I forgot about her. She goes back to work for Poppy, and she meets Elliot, who is a preppy, obnoxious guy who is sort of taking over the office and wants to change everything all at once. And it seems like her father is letting him do that, even though he has never listened to a single idea that she's had in her life. So I think that that's the impression I got of just, she's just annoyed that, okay, so suddenly this Ellie guy shows up and you'll listen to everything he has to say, but you never cared what I had to say. So that is what I take from that episode. It's a pretty short episode. We're just jumping through scenes, but it's moving the plot along. I enjoy it. Like I said, the one thing that stood out to me is that, and this is something that has happened other places in the series, I feel like there are some places where the acting somehow feels stilted, like it's a little, I don't know if it's the way the camera is going back and forth, like the way that they, you know, because they're not doing it in a shot necessarily always with, like, the thing I'm thinking is with Ben and Lewis. It just feels like the way that scene was written or the way they had it acted just feels a little forced and fake. It doesn't feel as natural as it maybe could have, and I'm not sure exactly what happened there. But other than that, the actual plot points we're getting through, it works really well. The guy who plays Elliot, I think, is perfect for the role because he's like nails on a chalkboard. He's so obnoxious, and we barely see, you know, I've seen him for 30 seconds and I already hate him, which is perfect. I mean, that's kind of what happens in the novel. Like, everybody else loves Elliot, but he's a little too, I don't know, schmoozy to really like him. So I think it works for us to not like him here. Because Anne certainly doesn't in the book, and Anna very clearly automatically doesn't like him here. So that, beautiful, it works. And that is what I've got for episode 12. Again, Rational Creatures is on YouTube, the entire series. Go and watch it. It's so much fun. It's the first adaptation of Persuasion that I have enjoyed watching. So, yay me. And I will see you next time with episode 13. Bye-bye.